Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Beginning with the 18th verse, we hear these familiar words of the Great Commission spoken by our Lord. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. We've got to stop them talking. So they rushed out into the crowd, through the people, and they went to the speakers and they grabbed them by the arms and pulled their arms back and bound them up. And the men wrestled them through the crowd and pulled them away, probably grabbing their mouths as well, and dragged them through the people and brought them into custody, locked them up in a room, and then they had a meeting. What are we going to do with these men? How are we going to shut them up? And so they brought these men into the room with them, and they thought that the best way to handle it was to severely threaten them with punishment and possibly death to stop speaking about this. And this is what the apostles answered. "We cannot help speaking about the things that we have seen and heard." We can't help it. We can't help talking about Christ. Can't stop us. Kill us. Beat us up. But we can't help stop. We can't help but want to preach this and teach about Christ. And here's the reason why. In the same chapter, Peter says, salvation, that means getting to heaven, is found in no one else besides Christ. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Christ is the only way to get to heaven, through faith in him and what he's done for us on the cross and by his resurrection, and proclaiming that word so that people can hear it and know it and believe it. That's the only connection there will be for people to ever, ever get to live with the angels above in heaven. If there was another way, if there was possibly another way for people to come to faith apart from the spreading of that word of God, we really wouldn't have to do it. There would be no need for it. In our day and age, there are church bodies that no longer believe this, that Christ is the only way to heaven. There are church bodies that no longer think we need to teach that because it seems so arrogant. And so they have turned their mission work into other, where they go to other lands, primarily into taking care of humanitarian needs, feeding the poor, building schools, teaching people how to farm. But it's only when you properly understand the one-wayishness of the gospel. It's only when you understand that Christ is the only hope for us out of our sins and out of our graves and out of death that you then will realize the need for spreading this word of God. St. Paul once said, "Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." In other words, when we know now and have come to understand the wrath of God that hangs over the head of every sinner in this world that would condemn them eternally, knowing that, we've got to persuade people to trust in Christ as their Savior. And faith in him, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's only through the proclamation of the gospel that salvation can be grabbed by people in their hearts through the work of the Holy Spirit. The gospel always has a missionary effort at its very core because it teaches about Christ, and that's what was at the core of his whole life and mission and purpose in being here. Everything he did, thought, and said, every little incident, every little command that he gave, every doctrine he taught was about getting people to heaven, ultimately. That was the bottom line core issue of the gospel. And so it is for you and me as well. Every time we hear the word of God, every time our minds think about it, every time a passage we memorize comes to our heart, Every time the Word of God comes to us, we are being converted once again to Christ. It's like going through a mini conversion every time we hear the gospel. It's like heaven is doing mission work on you right now, even through my sinful mouth. I have a neighbor who has a pretty nice garden, and every year he has a nice crop of tomatoes that come up, often gives me some. I was talking to him one day about it, and he claims that he hasn't had to buy any tomato plants for years, for a decade or more, because at the end of the year, he always takes the last batch of tomatoes he gets and buries them back into the ground, and the seeds that they have produce the next crop of tomatoes. It's interesting to think that every tomato that you eat has that power to reproduce itself, and that plant can be traced in its lineage all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where God tells us in Genesis 1 that each plant bore inside of it the seeds according to its own kind, to reproduce according to its own kind. It will never produce bananas, but will always produce tomatoes. We still recognize that today. The same is true when it comes to the gospel. The gospel message about Christ has a powerful seed in it that not only brings us to faith so that we can trust in our Savior to get to heaven, but along with that, it carries with it the ability to, if you will, procreate itself, to continue that creation process of spreading that life of the gospel to other people. Because whenever the gospel enters someone's hearts and causes them to trust in Christ, automatically it produces a desire in them to look around and think, how can we advance this kingdom of God even further? Mission work of the church is not intended to just be an afterthought of Christianity. It is rather a natural result of the gospel itself being spread, because the gospel carries with it the very energy and the very power to advance itself. So Jesus says to his disciples and to his whole church, go and make disciples of all nations. And sometimes that's difficult work. Sometimes that's tough to do. But it's not oppressive work. It's actually kind of fun work. And it's joyful work. Here on this campus, about every year or so, we get a missionary that comes here that talks to us about work that they've done in a foreign field. Fed people here recently from Africa and from Indonesia. And boy, they tell some fascinating stories about things that happened to them. And sometimes I just think, man, how do they put up with that? How do they do that? How difficult the work can be sometimes. But you know what? When you talk to them, at the bottom of their experience is always happiness. It's always joyful work. And why wouldn't it be? Think what they get to be involved in. That the Holy Spirit is using them to bring other people the wonderful knowledge of what Christ has done for them so they can someday join them in heaven. When that powerful word has touched you, you have a sense of wanting it to somehow touch other people as well. And it happens right here in our student body. You don't have to go off and be a missionary in a foreign land. You don't have to enter the public ministry. That's fine and great to do that. But I've seen this happen even among our students. Regularly, I have students come to me and ask me ways that they can help a fellow student or maybe a friend of theirs from back home or a relative to know Christ. Or maybe they've known him and have now fallen away and they want some advice on how they can text him or email him and bring them back to what Christ would want. The gospel that is proclaimed is both extremely narrow and extremely wide. It is narrow in terms of its content. And what I mean by that is this. It is narrow in that Christ is the only way to heaven, and nothing else can be preached and proclaimed but that. But it is also extremely wide when it comes to the audience that our Lord Jesus intends it for. All nations. And you can see it in the very means of grace that he uses to establish his church. He could have selected the juice from a weird mango plant for you to be baptized with, and it would have been hard to find. But instead, he decided to use water that's universal around the world. He could have told you to eat some strange herb that grows in the high lands of Tibet for you to receive his grace. But instead, he chooses bread and wine to distribute our Lord's body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, things that are found all around the world. He could have used some strange alien language, but instead he uses regular human language. He uses sinful people like myself to go and talk and preach and spread his word. He uses language to communicate in words things that are universal around the world. You can see just in the very tools that he uses to advance his kingdom, his love and his desire to have everybody come to that one narrow doorway, which is Christ. So is it arrogant for us in this modern day as Christians to declare, I have the truth, and getting to heaven is found only through Jesus? Is that arrogant of us? Well, you know, if it is, then so be it. Let your neighbors and your friends and your relatives ridicule you for that today. Learn to deal with it, because they're going to be thanking you for saying that on Judgment Day. You have been given your marching orders as someone who belongs to Christ. You have been given your marching orders from the one who has all authority in heaven and earth given to him. And he's the one that tells you to go. Amen.